It's time to blow this scene. Get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
What's up? And welcome back, goddammit, to another edition of Tell Me a Joke, the guideline of chasing the dream. I'm your host, the Maniacal Menace, Kyle Smith. Say the whole thing like a pimp named Slickback. And today, we have the lovely, the talented, I always fuck these up because I never write them down. Megan Barrios. I never write it down, but you've done so much, and it's good to have you here, because I definitely want to know, you know, what's next on your journey, because from when I've met you, I think we've known each other for like 3 years now, maybe four years now.
Yeah.
And so I guess just tell people what you do. What do you do now? Like before, what you did before? Like what is your thing now?
Yeah. So online, on Instagram, on like performance and stuff like that, I go by Meg Heals, and I'm a healing artist. I blend different styles of art, mostly like performance, getting more into writing, more spoken word, more poetry, and blending that with other healing modalities. Like I teach yoga and, you know, getting into breath work and meditation. I do energy healing like Reiki. So yeah, finding ways to do all of those things together in like workshop format and retreat format and that kind of stuff is kind of where I'm at now.
So healing art. I've never actually been around or actually seen. You know, I never knew this was like a thing, you know, so to see that you like really, it's kind of like a holistic medicine kind of sort of, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, so when was this always on your mind when you were growing older? Like, did you always think about wanting to be, you know, I guess a healing artist, as you say?
No, I wanted to be, I really wanted to be an actress, and growing up in like small town Louisiana, that was really my only understanding of what I could do, like what the top of what I could do in theater was.
Yeah,
and design, any of those like aspects weren't really things that I guess saw or knew of.
Mm-hmm.
But I started acting in third grade and loved it, and took to it really well. Just very like naturally drawn to it and talented in that. And so for a really long time I kind of thought that was the path, theater,
yeah.
Acting in specific. And then and then, you know, it was like some years where I wasn't sure, some years where there was this, oh, you're going to be a starving artist, we can't have you going to school for theater kind of stuff between me and the parents, or, you know, whatever.
So your parents had a big take on the route you took when it came to doing, like, kind of what you wanted to do.
Yeah, I think. So my mom knew that I was very talented.
Right.
I think she underestimated it and also just had that mom thing, you know, just
right.
Protective. Just wanted, wasn't that she didn't believe that I could do it, just was afraid that maybe I was being too optimistic, or maybe because she was a mom, she was overestimating my abilities.
Was your mom into, what did your parents do? Were they into like theater, performing, or anything artistic?
No. So for a while, my mom was a single mom, and she worked at a, she worked at a law firm as a manager, and just really, I mean, you know, just like good at organizing administrative stuff, planning, management. She's great at that. I'm great at that. Came by it honestly, but she is very artistic, just not for her job or career, and in very different ways than me. Performance not really her area, but like she sews and she's a seamstress and I can't do that because I can't see lines.
what do you mean you can't see lines?
I mean, I sew things and I'm like, Mom, look, I sewed this thing. And she's like,
it's crooked. It's crooked.
You're going to wear that?
You not see the line. Oh, well, that makes sense. Yeah.
She's more of a designer. Yeah. By nature. You know? and now she's like a health and wellness coach. Mm-hmm. And so, and like does personal development workshops and retreats and things. Yeah. So she and I are definitely in the same world and realm now.
When it comes to the healing.
I don't think either of us, neither of us knew along our journey that that was it. We were just, you know, trying to survive. I think like our lives were personal development. Our lives were healing ourselves, you know, mm-hmm. our lives were finding the ways to do that and then finding what worked for us. And then it becomes an integrative or healing path, you know. Okay, I'm going to therapy. I'm learning whatever it is, cognitive behavioral therapy with my therapist. And then I'm doing theater art, and that's very cathartic in its own certain way. Yeah. And then now I'm in college, and I'm my theater class. Oh my! Like that was the my 4 years of theater in college were the best therapy ever.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's really applied. I mean, acting is really applied psychology.
Yeah.
Right. So you're kind of like you're figuring out a person's internal life, their internal world.
Right.
And
so you can become that person.
Right. In a given moment.
Yeah.
You know, too. So that's it's wild. Like you have to know what makes them tick, how they respond, how they react to things, and then recreate an internal landscape that makes you have those reactions or responses.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that, I mean, that's the way that
you,
I was
that's
trained.
How you think about it? Oh, that's how you...
That's how I was trained. Oh. That is how I break down acting. I mean, and that's just in a very simplified way. But so it's very... applied psychology, right?
Yeah.
What is this person's internal landscape? What's going to get them to say this right here?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Where's that coming from? What's making them tick? How are they feeling? What, you know, you're not just like acting like you're mad or acting like something or acting at something, but you're really feeling through it as that person in that life, in that real moment. And so to do that, yeah, there's a lot of like psychological work that has to be done when you're looking at the pages, and internal work, which is why I, you know, left the stage for the past 3 years mostly, because of all of the trauma and healing that I was experiencing and having to work on in my personal
life. I was going
to
ask that. Yeah, I was going to ask. Well, not about the. I was just going to ask because it's been a minute since I've seen you on the stage or, you know, mention anything about you doing any stage life. It's mainly been healing. That's kind of why we started it off with you healing. But your main passion, which you, from what I've known you from since I've met you, you were acting. And the first time I saw you, you did a monologue on a open mic comedy stage.
True.
Yeah.
True.
Which was just like, oh, this is different, you know, because we're always used to seeing either... comedy or burlesque, and you had some time, and they let you go up, and they let you do your little monologue. There.
It was a comedic monologue.
And it was nice. It was really good. And then you know we met from there, and that was to say, because y'all were in the realm of like we are actors, and this is what we do, like. And, you know, we over there, like, we're comics, and this is what we do. And, you know, us, you're coming from the acting side to come on the comedy stage. So, you know, we're curious now. We're curious, and we want to see what makes you tick. And, you know, if this is the life that you really want to get in, because some people get to that stage, and they're like, this was fun. But then they go on about their business after that. But that seems like that was where you needed to be, you know, because the monologue that you delivered was really nice, you know.
That's
and
the way you put it.
Yeah, it was good because it was just, I mean, everybody's coming in there and expecting one thing, and then it's like, cause you get up there and it's like, oh, she's adorable. What is she gonna talk about? And then you get in there, it's like, oh, all right, that was all right, cool. I see where we're going with this here. And they say it was like not your first time on stage, but your first time actually doing something comedic wise. And you've recently done something like that again, didn't you? Did you do your little one?
A week or two ago, I did like an international performance, which I think they're cutting that right now. Should be out soon, which was cool. V-Day Osaka, and it's they were based in Osaka, Japan, mm-hmm. and the whole thing was just around women and women's rights, being a woman, trans women, non-binary women, like whatever your experience of being a quote woman is. And it was very international, people from all over. So that was really cool. We did it online, live on Zoom. Some people pre-recorded, but yeah. I'm really coming from really coming from stage. I like being on. I like on the spotlight, right. Being on,
yep.
Right now.
Yep.
That,
yep.
There's something about it that puts me there that feels different, yeah. And gives me like my one shot at it.
Yeah.
That is completely different than like if I knew that I could take that shot over and over and over,
right.
Then I would like quote try to be in the moment, and then I'll watch it and then want to fix it, and then I'll take 75 takes, and I'm like, I ain't got time to take 75 takes. I'm telling myself I'm doing it that
just
one
give it
night
to you
at a time.
Yeah.
That was spoken word. It wasn't comedic at all. Much more serious and dramatic, different styles and different levels to that for sure, and different like styles of poetry, but all of that was spoken word about what it feels like, or what my experience of being a woman is.
So what, like acting, you took a 3-year break, what got you into actually being more involved in the healing aspect of things?
Yeah, so, I mean, if my life wasn't traumatic enough, it all culminated in a very intense period of time in which my brother, my partner, and my biological father all died within the span of like 9 months.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I thought you was going to, you know, toss it out over some years. You said 9 months.
Yeah.
It's heavy.
Yeah.
It's all within the year.
Really quick. And so it was like all of a sudden it was like all of this, all of a sudden it was like all the, use this buzzword, daddy issues. All the daddy issues, right? My bio father, he's gone all of a sudden, you know? And we already had a tumultuous relationship, which is why I was in the relationship I was in with a partner who was an addict who also died from that. And then, you know, my brother obviously suffering from that too, in a way. And so it was like the three most central male figures other than my stepfather, who I'm extremely close with as well, were all kind of just gone, just like ripped away all of a sudden. And I was 25 when that happened.
Yeah.
So it was like my 25th year, supposed to be like this great, you know, I was like, yeah, 25.
Pivotal moment in your life,
25,
right there.
Man, quarter century.
Oh
fuck
my
yeah.
God.
I was newly single. I was like, fuck yeah, this is awesome. And then all this shit happened in that time frame, and I guess it was just asked of me from life to grow into my healing aspects. And so I'd say like a lot of artists of different mediums, like a lot of healers or whatever, it's more that it chose me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had to choose to do it to survive. You know, if I didn't do this, I wouldn't be here. So. Yeah, I guess the healing aspects really came as like a life or death decision, you know, for me. It was like, learn how to heal, learn how to grow, learn how to help others do that, or I was just going to collapse and self-destruct, because the trauma and the weight and the pain of it was just so unbearable that either there had to be a way to transmute it, to change it, to heal it, and if there wasn't, and if I found out that there wasn't, then I would still have my option to go. If I was going to be a comic, I'd be a dark comedian.
Yeah, it would fit your persona because you wouldn't look it. You got these piercing clear eyes. And you're very dainty like, so nobody would just assume that you're coming in with this dark heat. Yeah, I would so love it because it's always the people that you don't expect to come with the morbid jokes and that's
all life gave me.
I love that. That's when things get fun because then you see people like really. Like, oh my God, why does she want to talk about this? It's like, hey, you don't understand. This is therapy to us. Yeah. This makes us feel a whole lot better. Look, feel my trauma.
Right? Laugh so you don't cry.
Right? This helps me make it through another day. Yeah, I know a few people like that. God damn it. Well, I don't know why his name is drawing a blank in my head now. But, He's one of them. And it's very upsetting that motherfucker. AJ Bell. Jesus Christ. Shout out to AJ. That motherfucker there. You don't expect it because he's like a quiet, solemn dude. But when he gets on stage, like the shit that he talks about, it's like, oh, motherfucker, that's real dark, man. I love shit like that because you think it's going to be one way and then boom, it smacks you on the other side of your head and it's like, oh, Kansas City Shuffle, I get it. All right. So that's good. Now, was that your only time that you thought about doing comedy or is you thinking about maybe getting back on stage some more?
I come back around that quite a lot, but I also feel like I'm so I guess right back to how we met, my avenue into comedy has been through being a comedic actress.
Mm-hmm.
And that is very different than being a stand-up comedian, you know, and I don't know. It takes some balls to get
up
there.
Yeah, it does.
How does that
compare to like actually being on a big stage? Because you've been in theaters.
So acting is reacting.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I am a comedic actress and comedic timing and all this stuff, that has to do with somebody else.
Yeah.
That has to do with us throwing a ball back and forth. I mean, to an extent, maybe the way that I would translate it is it's kind of like that between you and the audience, but mostly not. Like what you're doing is more like a monologue, in a mm-hmm. sense. It's not, because you're interacting with the audience.
More just a normal conversation, kind of, sort of.
Yeah, I don't know.
I like to look at it like that. Like just a normal conversation that I'm having with maybe one person, but this one person is an entire audience. I try to envision it like that, just so I can like be like sane about myself, because if not, thinking that, I gotta talk to... When you focus instead of just on everybody onto just one person, mm-hmm. out of everybody, that fucks everything up. Because that one person could be like not paying attention, and everybody else can be paying attention. That one person, you want to get them on your side, and I don't know what the fuck that is. I hate when that happens, but it's like, man, why this person not paying attention? I'm gonna make sure just you get this. But really, what you want to do is you want to look at everybody as a whole as one. And then, you know, it just normally like you're talking to a person having a conversation. And then once I can do that, it's very helpful. And it doesn't give me the butterflies as bad. You know, I can get on stage and, you know, be myself. But
yeah. I think in stage acting, you're not really... I mean, you are responding to the audience. You're listening. You're hearing the beats. You're hearing... are feeling, sensing energetically, like what the audience is responding to, especially with comedic acting and timing. And I'm sure it's kind of, you gotta give them enough time to laugh, not too much time, et cetera, et cetera. It's like all of this kind of timing that kind of just becomes second nature,
mm-hmm.
where you're not having to think about it so much eventually. But with more people to bounce off of on the stage, you're really focused, at least me, I'm really focused on who am I speaking to and who's speaking to me, and just living that authentic life in the moment of that character that's naturally funny to people. And, you've already created it before. You've already created, and that comes back to like the inner psychology and stuff. But translating that into like a one-woman show, which yes, I have thought of a bit. But I think I always reach a little bit of a wall and a little bit like, how does one do that? And I think probably it's just gonna take me like studying that a little. It's just not something that I have read a lot of, watched a lot of, or whatever, to kind of like dissect or learn like what makes it work, or you know, to then translate it into me. Like, I don't know where to start because I don't know it as an art form.
You haven't really gotten into it compared to like with your acting. Yeah, because when it comes to comedy and being it on stage, and you really got to put the time in if you want certain things to come from it. Yeah, because I was just thinking, like, if I was just 3 years in, the things that I'm doing now, I wouldn't have no idea that I would be capable of doing. Like, and it's so strange because it's been a minute since I've been on stage, but I finally got back on stage down here, and I'm thinking that, you know, since I've been gone for so long, like, you know, the wheels have gotten rusty or something like that. And that is not the case. That is not the case. Things are still there, as long as, you know, people don't know what I'm going to say or anything like that. So as long as I go on there and be myself, because I've already got the tools, you know, the tools of the trade to go ahead and be the person that I was before the pandemic happened and before that long stint that I didn't have on stage. So basically, it's just reapplying that because the tools didn't go nowhere. Once I learned what I had to learn about it, like, it stuck. So, you know, being able to move from not doing comedy to being able to do comedy again, thinking that, you know, it gets you nervous when you go on stage for the first time in a long time, you know, and I was hoping that it wouldn't be as bad as I used to feel when I first used to start out. But yeah, right back at it. Like, I was like, well, okay. So it feels good to be actually getting back out and doing things again. But if I would have never, like, if I wouldn't be this many years in, I don't think the progression of what I have of my backlog history of the things that I've created, I don't think it would be there just yet. So, yeah, comedy poetry wouldn't be a thing if I was just 3 years into doing this. That shit took at least 5 years. And then it still wasn't set until, you know, I made a staple of it. And like, all right, this is what I'm doing. And this is how I'm going to have to do it so it can go both ways on the comedy side and the poetry side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that was difficult. If it was all just poetry, it'd be a boring comedy show. You know, so
sure.
I've done that once, and I made sure I would never do that again. I myself got bored like a motherfucker. I was like, this is terrible. You feel the people having to just cringe and sit through it. And it's like, oh man. But do you get that feeling as being an actor on the stage? Like, do you get the feeling of bombing being an actor? Huh.
No. I don't think so.
Because you got other people to back you up, I'm assuming.
I mean, yeah. Well, yeah. You're all like, I mean, it can happen, but it's got to happen really bad because someone's going to cover you, or you're going to, like, basically, like, yeah, with acting, the saying, the show must go on.
Yeah.
Like, it's just got to happen. You know, drive the plot, drive the motion forward. Someone loses a line, or you skip a whole section, or some crazy shit happens. You just fucking make it work, you know? You make it work. You make the audience believe that was how it was supposed to happen.
Yeah.
And I'll be having people ask, you know, after the fact, like, now, was that supposed to happen? Was that scripted? Like, people, sometimes they'll wonder, but the fact that they're not sure.
Yeah.
Means that it was covered well enough.
Yeah.
But they weren't like, you fucked that up. That was fucked up. You know? Like, they were like, I couldn't tell if you fucked that up or like if that was supposed to be that way. And we're like, it's good acting for you.
As long as you smile through it, you're all right. I learned that from cheerleading. It was like, they don't know what you're supposed to do. Yes, just keep smiling. Exactly. Just keep smiling, and they ain't gonna be able to tell.
Exactly that.
It's like, oh, okay, that's good. Yeah.
And and besides like choreographed dance or like choral singing or something, where like if it's off, you fucking know it's off.
Yeah.
Like you flat, yeah. People hear it's flat. Yeah. You crack, people hear it's you crack. Like there ain't no cover in it. I mean, yeah. Everybody else on the stage doing a double pirouette and you fall.
Yeah. And you fall, right? That's true.
You
I've
fucked.
Had a few
like,
instances where I fell.
But acting, unless you really fuck it up, I don't know. I don't believe that that's happened to me.
It's probably a rare instance where people get bombed or get booed during acting.
I've bombed really bad in acting during like really important rehearsals. Oh. Like
that's rehearsal. Is that really
it
count
is,
as a boo or a bombing?
I mean, kind of.
This is where you should be able to go ahead and bomb.
If it feels embarrassing as fuck.
Ah, yeah. Still don't feel good. Regardless of the fact where you at, still don't feel good. Yeah. Still feels like shit.
When it's still feels like shit, yeah. It feels like the end of the world, and that will not happen again on stage, you know? I think that that's happened a few times where, like, the director or someone or whatever will be like, well, you'll never do that again. And you're like, I got it.
Definitely not going to do that again.
That will never happen again. I will fucking know that line. I will not jump us a page and a half.
I will not do
my scene change or my costume change at the wrong time. You know? Some crazy ass shit. Miss an entrance. You know? Big shit. That's like, oh, I fucked up bad. Royal mistake.
Oh. Yeah, I've done some acting on stage, but I haven't done enough to where it's gotten to that point to where I've missed a cue or anything like that. But I understand when it gets a lot, that can become overwhelming and just with the costume changes and things. Man, I went to college for drama. I wanted to be an actor as well, but when I went to college, I was just speaking about this with with fucking Kamari and John. Every time I do something, I always have it in my head that it's going to be something else than what it really is. So I went to college for acting thinking that, oh, you're going to teach me how to act. And I get in there, you know, I applied for drama. So it was like, all right, let's fucking read, it was some shit. We had to learn about like Plato or something like that, and read about Hamlet. We had to read about Hamlet. I'm like, wait. You ain't gonna about to teach me no stage left, stage right shit. You're not about to, you know, wherefore art thou Romeo type shit. This is what I'm coming here for, and you read this, and we gonna figure
Hamlet?
Out the history on it.
Hamlet's
yeah.
to be or not to be.
Yeah,
that's some wherefore art thou Romeo shit.
I had no idea. There was, but see, it wasn't Hamlet. We was reading about. Yeah, and I'm like, I don't want to know the history about this shit. Like, I don't care about the backstory. I just want to know how to do this because this is what I want to do. You gonna give me all this useless information? It might not be useless to other people, but I'm not a historian. I don't want none of this. And I was like, you know what? Drop that motherfucking class. I dropped that shit like with the quickness. I'm like, no. This is not what I thought. This
like
is not what I thought at all.
Theater class.
Yeah. I'm like, man, so we not about to learn about curtains and shit? No? Nothing about the stage or nothing like that? I can't do it. Nothing about lighting? No? I probably need to read more. I probably need to read up on, like, this is what this class is going to be. I just like, drama, acting, got it. That's what I want. And it's not what it was. It's not what it was at all. And I was like, this is a waste.
Yeah.
They want to go to school in the first place, so it's like, well, if I'm going to go here, I guess I'm going to do the shit that I really want to do. And none of it was what I wanted to do at all.
I really wanted to do theater, and I really loved theater school and being there for acting, but to the point of like thinking that you're going to do something for one reason and it ended up being a different reason, you know, finding out that that's actually not your door, or that's you know, and that's really valuable lessons to have too, along the way. And so I don't know, I count all of those as Yeah, it's really valuable.
Those life lessons.
Really valuable. I think that I went to acting school. I don't know. I don't know why, you know, because now I don't know if I'm going back or not, you know? Like, I'm like, I don't know.
It makes you think.
But I do think. I was going to, well, first I was going to say, I think I went to acting school for fucking therapy, honestly. Like, I think I needed that intensiveness.
Yeah.
And I needed to understand humans and why they tick at this deeper level. And, like, that kind of intensive acting school that I went to,
you know,
really set the stage for me to understand healing.
Yes. See how I look at it as
therapy and theory
you're
and stuff.
As you being like an avatar character on a video game that you would, you know, build up, and as you're building your character, it's basically like life progression, you know. So the little things that you do just add to your attribute stats. So
yes. Like you know, I will take it.
Yeah,
I will take
right. It. Yeah, you see where I'm going,
you
right?
You can't see me, people, but I'm here.
She curtsied.
Oh, and since I'm non-binary, I'll take my bow now.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah. This is my masculine side. Taking my bow. All right.
That was a perfect bow. I don't even think normal dudes bow like that. Yeah. So that's kind of how I look at it as. I'm like, even though I did learn this and I'm not using it, it still goes to use just because, like, I have this knowledge of this. And yeah, I can take this knowledge and apply it to whatever I want, however it may apply, you know. And so I'm like, everything that I do, it hasn't been useless.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, it was time consuming and seemed like it might have wasted something, but it didn't. It just, you just learn more.
Mm-hmm.
It just, you know, more knowledge for you to retain. And I do enjoy being able to look at it like that instead of being like, ah, man, that was a fucking waste. I did all that for no goddamn reason. Yeah, no. I think I did that with college. I say that. I'm like, damn it, I went to college for no fucking reason. Could have been out here being an electrician and just making more money than, but then, you know, I wouldn't have got that college experience. So it's just like, I'm glad I went, you know?
Yeah.
It's, it is. It was, I mean, I definitely didn't need it at all. It was a waste of money. Mm. It was a waste of money. But my people didn't pay for it, so they was like, oh, well. You know? And I do thank the person that did get me through college. But I'm sorry that, you know, I didn't make it. if that's what you was hoping for, because I wasn't hoping to go to school after I finished school. You want me to do more school and I don't like it? Alright, I guess. But, you know, save me from the military. And now I'm trying to do comedy. Doing comedy.
Yeah, let's see. You ain't trying.
Yeah.
You ain't trying.
I'm here. I ain't trying. Mm-mm.
There is no try. Only do.
So with this healing and your healing arts, like, what do you think the upper plateau of your learning this would be?
Ooh.
What are you trying to do when it's all complete? If it's ever all complete, it seems like you can continue.
It won't be. It won't be complete. So, what's coming up for me right now is Ram Dass.
Ooh, come on.
We're all just walking each other home.
Yeah.
Right. Any great healer. We're all healers. What a healer is to me, what I think of as healing, is just someone who is really a space holder. You're really like holding space for the healing to happen. Like, we're all already whole. We're all already complete.
Mm-hmm.
This world gives us these, whatever, this personality, this ego, this trauma, this all these things that convince us in our personality, in our everyday life, in our avatars, in our little body avatars,
because
we're spirits, not bodies.
Yeah.
It convinces us that we aren't whole, or that we're broken, or that there's something to fix. But, like, inherently, we all are whole.
Mm.
So I feel that for healing to take place, people need space held. They need a space where they can reconnect with that, That's what meditation offers. That's what, when we are doing practicing breath work, that's what that offers. And any facilitator who's holding a space, who's holding a yoga class, who's holding whatever, has to hold a space for people where they can feel comfortable into themselves, where they can grow, where they can, you know, and someone who really understands and knows that you're just wherever you are on your journey and isn't thinking of you or looking at you as broken, but already understands that that you are whole, that you're just figuring that out.
Right, you know?
And it doesn't mean that any of us is like further along or whatever. And it doesn't mean like I have some innate ability to heal that other people don't.
You should understand better.
And I'm more practiced.
Yeah.
Just like you're talking about comedy or whatever. You're like, oh, I wouldn't be able to just jump on a stage and do blah, blah, blah if I was only doing this for three years.
Right.
It wouldn't be like that. But it becomes so ingrained that I can just do this thing and now just say I'm a comedian. But someone starting out can also say, I'm a comedian too. And know like that their vibrational being, like who they are, is like meant to be a comedian.
Right.
They're claiming that and they're claiming it and they're doing it and they're doing the work. They're just not a however many years practiced comedian.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm a baby comedian.
Yes, I look at it. You're a freshman right now. That guy's a senior, but I'm just starting the school. I'm just a freshman.
But
yeah.
It's not, it doesn't make you like bad or worse or anything, right? And it's, okay, and so, and they're learning from watching you. And then they're going to bring their own interpretation to it. You know, all art is recycled art. We're all watching each other and learning. So that comes back to the Ram Dass. We're all just walking each other home. Is like, I'm just going to continue my journey.
Yeah.
And the furthest that I go is the furthest that I can lead or hold space for anyone on their journey.
Like a slingshot.
So as I keep going, then people coming along
behind
who are
me,
just getting to it can be like, oh, I want to be where you're at. And
right.
I'm, okay, cool. Like, let's talk about like what tools you have, where you're coming from, what traumas we got to work on, all these things. We got to break it down. What's your internal set and setting?
Yeah.
Like, very much like acting. Let's break it down. What's going on inside of you and what makes you tick? What healing will work for you? Because not everything is everybody's cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not everybody wants to do exactly this or that or whatever.
I found that out the hard way. Like, this isn't it. Yeah.
It's like that with everything.
Yeah.
So I'm only going to be some people's quote teacher or healer. Some people are going to resonate with me and some people, and that's fine because there's so many people, we're all just walking each other home. And you can't lead anyone past where you've been. So it's my job, if I want to help other people do that, to just continue my journey and to continue opening, to continue growing, healing, expanding. And then, you know, those people will find me along the way. I'll find those people along the way who... Yeah, I don't know. It's our path to work together for some way. So what does that look like at the end goal? I have no fucking clue because I'm kind of just riding this thing called life.
Yeah. That's so crazy. It's I in my head, I'm like, oh, that's like Jesus. Kind of. Jesus did something like that, right? We just walk around and teach people the power of the Lord and Christ and healing and all that. You know, it would be nice if you know, preachers were able to teach it like that instead of being like, you got to do this and you got to be good. And it's like, well, hold on.
So that's funny that you bring that up because that jogs a piece of my life that I kind of forgot earlier when you asked, like, was this what you thought you were going to be doing? I was very religious. Growing up.
Yeah, same here.
I was in a, and I was in a pretty Christian home.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, were you raised Catholic? But,
I wasn't Catholic. I was raised Mennonite.
Ooh.
Wow. But Mennonites, to me, and, like, my experience of that was just very Quaker-like. Like,
yeah.
The things that I latched onto was, like, love and, like, the teachings that we got. You know, it wasn't, like, hellfire and brimstone. I mean, we did get taught that, right?
Yes.
But it wasn't like the way that I hear like Baptists getting
it wasn't
taught
bombarded
that.
It wasn't, down your throat.
It wasn't so like you're going to hell.
There was definitely
that's like what the Bible says, and then we definitely knew that as a teaching, right? But it was much more the focus, like what you're saying, much more the focus was on love and like the non-judgment and those kinds of things, like closer to what I think Jesus actually taught. So I feel like, yeah, I'm very Christian in the sense of, like, I connect with Christ consciousness, Christ energy, who Jesus really was.
Yeah.
I do not connect with the way that it's taught in modern religion, but I found a lot of my own connection to God, source, Christ energy, whatever, Buddha nature, whatever you want to call it.
I love it. I love how you did that.
All those things, universe, it's all the same thing. I found my spiritual connection to that very young through Christianity, which did make things convoluted and confusing later in life when I didn't feel like I resonated with the religion anymore. That was a little confusing. But along the way, I was a worship leader, and that meant that I sang in the worship band at my non-denominational church in, in high school. So I, we did kind of like rock really music, involved. And I was really involved. I was in DNA, which was our leadership team.
I could just imagine you being that person. And we read scriptures, and we come and we teach the Bible of the Lord. And it's like, oh, you're that person. Oh, okay.
We did beach retreats, and we, but we had a lot of fun too. And I did a lot of like planning for that and a lot of beach retreats. And I thought that I was going to be, quote, a pastor. And I feel like I was right. Just the lens in which I was going to do that
is different.
Is different. But I'm doing my passion and my mission.
Oh, shit.
I always knew what it was. It just had a different
crazy.
Lens on it.
Yeah. That's why. Yeah, because see, I found my deeper religion once I took acid. And I was like,
amen. <you're here.
laughs> Yeah, I was like, hold on now. Yeah, wait, what about this here? And this is something that you can't really explain to like black preachers and stuff like that. They're definitely not going to, you know, they're definitely not going to fall for that or just get into it. So it's just like, all right, I'll be over here. I'll come into your worships and all that, but I'll still have an open mind about how I feel about certain things, because it's just like, none of it it adheres together. Like, it's always, are we still going to be on here about this subject? And, you know, other people still going to be on here about this subject. And it's like, we're never going to come together with it, you know, because my thing is, the church that I used to go to, they hated anything homosexual. Mm-hmm. They hated all that. And it's just like, well, my mom's homosexual, so the fuck am I supposed to do now? Like, she's supposed to be going to hell because of that? Mm. Like, I was like, nah, fuck all that. Fuck how you teaching this. Like, I don't think it needs to be that. And also, I mean, most of this, when you look at Catholicism, it's like they touching all the little kids. It's like, like, what? And I grew up Catholic, you know, having to deal with that. Actually having to, I wanted to be an altar boy at one point in time. And I had dumb shit happen to me being in Catholic schools, dealing with nuns and shit. I had a nun that I remember the first time I seen a nun smoke. I was like, I thought y'all wasn't supposed to be able to smoke. Like, what are you doing? Your body is a temple. You are ruining that temple, ma'am. And she lied to me and said she didn't smoke. I was like, oh, you're lying. All right. I know you're not supposed to do that. And then on top of that, I got in a fight with a kid at the school, and this teacher tried to hold me just so he can hit me back. And I'm like, I know you're not supposed to be doing this. This is not right. And I was like, so what's wrong with people? Like, if you're supposed to be Catholic and you're supposed to be sanctified and all that, why are you being like this? You know, it fucked me up.
So I'll actually answer that one a little bit, at least from my lens. So there's something that's kind of like coming up a lot that people are talking about a lot more now, spiritual egoism. Mm. So, right, like we do have an ego, we have some kind of a purpose here, right? Or we find like who we are, personality, like our ego persona. And then spirituality is real tricky because you start to get into spirituality and if you slip into or attach to that spirituality, to that spiritual ego, to a point that you think that you're better than anyone or that you can judge them or whatever, then now you just the other side of the coin that you're hating against. And we can see that with like this polarization of liberalism and conservatism or whatever. So it's like that same polarization can happen between like, say whatever someone who is like a holier than thou spiritualist or religionist. I don't even know if that's a fucking word. whatever. I think then we see this kind of like polarization again. And the point is for all of us to come to oneness, and the point is for all of us to be love and one love and all this is like really the point, then you're missing the mark, which is the definition of to sin. It's an old archery term, which means to miss the mark. Then you just as much in sin as whoever you thinking is in sin on this side. If you if you thinking that you get to decide that those people are sinning, like
one without sin cast the first stone. Okay,
exactly.
No one's throwing stones because we all feel.
So
like
I think that that's what happens is that it becomes like a spiritual ego that forms. That's still ego.
That is
masquerading as enlightenment, and it is not.
Never heard of it like that. That's awesome. That's awesome. I felt every bit of that. Because I've always wondered. I'm like, man, why did it be in like that? Like, there's no, you know, spiritual egoism.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Wow. This healing. How long have you been? Would you say healing artist? How long have you been doing this?
So I coined that term for myself when did I start using that term? Maybe two years ago? I was just sitting trying to like find my quote brand. And that was because I think also like finding the brand, like, or the brand is like, it's really like the heart of who you are or what your message is or whatever. And knowing that was going to give me clarity on what was and wasn't on brand, not just for people, but like for me as a person and for what I'm really trying to do and for like my mission. So in figuring all of that out, I was, you know, drawing these creative maps and writing out all the things that are my passions, things that I like, and then kind of highlighting where things overlapped a lot. And I kind of truncated it down at one point to artivist was one of them, right? Okay. Like artivism, like using art as activism, which I'd say I still do. Artivist, healer, I think it was like healer, artivist, and like creator or like creatrix or creatress or whatever. I was something about that, cool. Right? Oh, I'm a creative, right? Yeah. So I'm a creative, which means, okay, I'm creating things. And that can also be like management. That can be creating retreats. That can be, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm a creative. I'm an inventor of some sort. Then I'm doing art. That's activism. I've always done theater for social change. It's almost always what I do. It's like just been what I've been drawn to from young. From really when it was introduced to me with this one play called Speak Truth to Power, which is a play based on a book that's like based on documentary interviews with different human rights activists around the world, and like their stories, including like the Dalai Lama and just like different people all over the world. So that felt like really, you know, cause I would say I'm an activist, but I would say like my lane, like heavily if I'm gonna do activism is usually in that way and has more so become like healing activism or like being a healer as part of my activism work. But yeah, I was like healer, artivist, creator or creative.
Really searching for that brand at that time.
And I had like these three titles and like that really was it, you know? And because I was also trying to figure out what is it that I'm doing, because I do so many different things and so eclectic in the things that I do that I was like, what's going on here? Like, yeah. Why am I finding all of these? Like, what is at the root of that? So that I could, like, understand even me and then help other people to understand it. Because if I don't even understand it, how is anybody else going to understand it, you know? Mm-hmm. and then at some point I came to, oh, I'm a healing artist. You know, it's, I'm not necessarily just a healer, and I'm not a healer and an artist, because I do these things together, and right. I look at the whole practice as an art form. Mm. You know, it's like a way of living, it's a way of being, it's living life as though it is art, and weaving things, finding my own personal magic, saying, okay, yeah, this over here and this over here, and blending those two together. So it's very holistic and intersectional and integrative. And those are all things that that I think we really need right now.
Yeah, definitely.
That the world really needs. And
some type of healing, any type of healing.
It's, yeah.
Like, Jesus.
But it needs to not be so compartmentalized. And in history, I think it's been very, like, right, it's been very black or white. It's like either science or religion.
Mm.
You know, it's either this or this. You believe right. this way or the, instead of, like, going, okay, what truths are we finding here? What truths are we
Why
finding
not use
here?
Both, right?
Yeah.
Bring it together.
Both, all the colors, all the flavors, you
it's
know.
It's always one side versus the other. They never want to come, they never want to bring things together. It's like a Twix commercial. Y'all never just want to. Oh, it's the left side. That's the right side. Just
I think we're seeing a lot more of people coming into that middle ground, but it's going to take, and it is taking a lot of people to, like, really do the work, really mm-hmm. do the heavy internal work and external work. It's really taking the artists, the creatives, the healers to envision it be done another way.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, everything is just patterns. We just are relearning what we've been learning, and we're repeating the patterns. And even like human history, we're like, oh, history repeats itself and those kinds of things. It's just because, like, it's just recycled what we're learning.
Yeah.
Like, all art is recycled art, etc. So it's really taking those artists, those creatives of the world, the healers of the world, to envision a way in which a way in which we're not redoing what's been done. Even to the point of recycling really old shit.
Yeah.
And that's what's coming up a lot with returning to ancient ways, returning to indigenous ways, mm-hmm. returning to how did this work. And not all of that was completely perfect either, but this, like, emphasis on decolonizing ourselves, no matter what race, ethnicity, color, gender, whatever, everybody focusing on what ways am I recycling colonization, and being able to envision new ways with really old ways.
Yeah.
That are healthier than the ones that we've been having right. for a while that have just been recycled and recycled and recycled.
That's what I've been doing with my jokes, just recycling them. But that's what we've been doing with life now. You know, we recycle things and make them better. Now you got recorders that you can play 45s and vinyl on, and they come with Bluetooth. Back then, you know,
right.
So it's just like
new technology,
yeah,
and really old
and
technology.
Really old shit.
Yes.
Oh, I love it. I love how all that stuff's coming together, and, you know, you're able to bring it back into society and use it again. That's where the world needs to go to. That's meeting in the middle right there. It's like, why throw it away? Like, it's still good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just you just use it and beef it up. Like, we got the means to beef something up. Why not? Why not? Instead of throwing away, oh, it's old, it ain't gonna work no more. You sure? You see what happened on Transformers, huh? Shit, just beef him up. Add some more shit to him. He'll bust ass. He'll be all right. But yeah, this is good. I'm glad you was able to make some time for me out of your busy schedule.
Thank you for making time for me.
Shit, I tried. Yeah, man, it was hectic today. You see, I got my hair done. That was part of the schedule today. I had to get my hair done.
Oh,
and then
all right.
Go do some other shit, and then. Boom, had to pick up drugs, and now finally made it back. You know, I'm here. We was able to.
I had a day, too. We talking about it, so.
Yeah.
The fact that we're here right now is a blessed miracle.
Yes. It's like, man, this is that window. It's like, oh, you ain't got nothing to do right now? Yeah, until later. It's like, oh, okay, good. Boom, we can meet up then. That's nice.
This little window. You know, a little slice of heaven.
Yes, though, this, especially inside this little Airbnb. I'm glad all the noise stopped. Because it is heaven when it's quiet. Yeah, you got to be careful because it's treacherous around here. If you park over there or any too close to there, you get a boot on your car.
Ooh.
Yeah, and they assholes. They've always been assholes ever since I've been living here. Subway, all that place next door, they don't fuck around. And I'm like, that's not cool. There's also crackheads that stay not too far, right around the corner. And they always asking for shit. So it's just like, I just stay here and maybe go to my car and leave. I understand. Yeah, I know what my city is like. So, but man, thank you for coming. This has been fun. Oh, plug yourself. Where can people find you? If they want to get some healing or just need to therapeutically talk to someone.
Yeah.
Yeah, that helps me.
Sure. Yeah. At the moment, most of my stuff, most of what's going out is on Instagram at Meg_Heals, HEALS. And MegHeals.com is my website. And I'll be releasing a lot of other stuff soon on both the website and through Instagram. So, yeah, keep posted.
Sweet. Check it out. Beans. That's what's up. Well, thank you for stopping by and being able to come on and do this podcast. Until next time, hey, you guys have fun. This has been Tell Me a Joke, the guideline of chasing the dream. I've been your host of Monogamy, it's Kyle Smith. Say the whole thing like a pimp named Slickback. I'm getting better at that. I've been able to say that shit like I'm an announcer guy and shit. And I definitely don't need to do that at all. But it's been fun. It's been fun to do it. Now I just need to write down people's attributes so I can be like, this person does this, 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 and this, and they're awesome and they my friends. Meet such and such. Yeah, that's what I need. But you know, I've just been trying to keep things steady. So until next time, everybody, that was unnecessary. Y'all have fun.